ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद। We're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Volume 1, The Later Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And I know we're ending up at verse number 161. And where's the start point? Thank you, Maharaj. Text 152. Kuliya gramete prabhura shuniya agamana koti koti loka asi koila darashana. Hearing of the Lord's arrival in Kuliya gram, many hundreds of thousands of people came to see him. Kuliya grame koila deva nandere prasad gopala viprere Kamaila Srivasa Parada. The specific acts performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at this time were his showing favor to Devananda Pandit and excusing the Brahmana, known as Gopal Chapala, from the offense he had committed at the lotus feet of Srivas Thakur. Pashandi Nindaka Ashi Padila Charane Aparada Kami Tare Dila Krishna Preme. Many atheists and blasphemers came and fell at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord in return excused them and gave them love of Krishna. Brindabana Jabhina Prabhu Shuni Nushinghananda Pato Sajaila Mani Paya Anando. When Sri Nrisinghananda Brahmachari heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to Vrindavan, he became very pleased and mentally began decorating the way there. Kuliya Nagara Khoite Patoratne Bhandaila Nivritna Pushpa Shaya Upare Patila. First, Nrisinghananda Brahmachari contemplated a broad road starting from the city of Kuliya. He bedecked the road with jewels, upon which he then laid a bed of stemless flowers. Patte dui deke pushpa bakulera shrini madhe madhe dui pashe divya pushkarini. He mentally decorated both sides of the road with bakula flower trees. And at intervals on both sides, he placed lakes of a transcendental nature. Ratna bhanda khata tahe prapula kamala nana paki kola hala shuddha samajala. These lakes had bathing places constructed with jewels, and they were filled with blossoming lotus flowers. There were various birds chirping, and the water was exactly like nectar. Shitala samira vahe nana ghandalai kandaira natashala paryanto laila bandira. The entire road was surcharged with many cool breezes, which carried the fragrances from various flowers. He carried the construction of this road as far as Kanai Natashala. Purport: Kanai Natashala is about 200 miles from Calcutta on the loop line of the Eastern Railway. The railway station is named Talajadi. And after one gets off at that station, he has to go about 2 miles to find Kanai Natashala. Age mano nahe chale na pari bhandite patha bhanda na jaya Nrsingha hoila yusmite. Within the mind of Nrsingha Nanda Brahmachari, the road could not be constructed beyond Kanai Natashala. He could not understand why the road's construction could not be completed, and thus he was astonished. 161. Nishchaya karya kahi shuna bhaktagano e bar na jabhena prabhu shri Vrindavana. With great assurance, he then told the devotees that Lord Chaitanya would not go to Vrindavan at that time. Purport. Sri Nrsinghananda Brahmachari was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, when he heard that from Kuliya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, although he had no material wealth, he began to construct within his mind a very attractive path or road for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to traverse. Some of the description of this path is given above. But even mentally, he could not construct the road beyond Kanai Natashala. Therefore, he concluded that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not go to Vrindavan at that time. For a pure devotee, it is the same whether he materially constructs a path or constructs one within his mind. This is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, is bhava-grahi, or appreciative of the sentiment. For him, a path made with actual jewels and a path made of mental jewels are the same. Though subtle, mind is also matter. So any path, indeed anything for the service of the Lord, whether in gross matter or in subtle matter, is accepted equally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord accepts the attitude of his devotee and sees how much he is prepared to serve him. The devotee is at liberty to serve the Lord either in gross matter or in subtle matter. The important point is that the service be in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.26. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhaktya pariyachchati tadaham bhaktyuparitam hrishnami pariyatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, I will accept it. The real ingredient is bhakti, devotion. Pure devotion is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. Ahaitukya pratyata. Unconditional devotional service cannot be checked by any material condition. This means that one does not have to be very rich to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the poorest man can equally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he has pure devotion. If there is no ulterior motive, devotional service cannot be checked by any material condition. This is a very important purport. And here, Srila Prabhupada's mentioning the Lord's quality of bhava-grahi Janardana. The bhava, or the feeling that the devotee has within his or her heart, is altogether noticed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Krishna notices everything. And it's not that he's ever inattentive. In the Bhagavad Gita, of course, we know that Krishna's with us, He says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher janatishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rujani maya. Even as one, as a soul, rests upon the machine, the yantra of the material body, it's definitely a machine, and is transported from one body to the next because of the state of his or her consciousness, Krishna is there. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher arjuna tishtiti. Hridesher, he's there within the heart. And not only is he there, but he's also interacting. Sarvasya chaham hridisani vishto mataksmitir jnanam apohanam cha. That Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, that I'm giving knowledge. One can notice this, Prabhupada mentions in a lengthy purport in which he advocates introspection, anumapakai, through introspection and seeing how the Lord's interacting with us within the heart. One can notice that one is getting intelligence very much the way that a child would get direction from a parent. There are instances in history, not just in history, they're noted. Everyone has experience. There are notable times at which people like Jonas Salk mentioned how he was researching the polio vaccine. And in kind of a frustration from not being able to discover the actual formula, one day it came to him completely intact while he was waiting for his wife to come out of a store, and he went and wrote it down. There are many other instances, but we all have this experience. And if one is a little observant, one can see that my intelligence is coming from a higher source. This is actually something that Prabhupada advocates that we do, take time to look inside and see how it is that we're being provided with this intelligence. This is the Lord's prerogative. In fact, he's vitally interested in each individual soul, atma, living entity, because mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, he describes how they're all parts of him. And Gajendra, when he's praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says that, my Lord, you're never lazy or inattentive. He used the word laya. He says that you don't wait for me to pray to you to be attentive to my needs and desires. Actually, you're always like that. And Prabhupada amplifies that in his purport, saying that Krishna is always attending to us. Sapare gat shukram akayam avranam shnaviram shuram apapaviram kaviram anishi paribhu swayamburi yatat yat yatortan vyaradash asfatibhya samabhyaha. The Shisha Upanishad mentions how the Lord he's a self-sufficient philosopher, has been fulfilling everyone's desires since a time immemorial. And therefore, it's not that when I decide that I'll turn my attention to him and I'll make some specific intention known, just generally known as praying, I sort of verbalize what my intention is. This is what I really want. Who's ever out there or in there? It's not only then that Krishna notices. He always notices, says Prabhupada, in relationship to Gajendra. He's noticing, even Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, the psychic movements of the living entity, the subtlety of the desire. And through the material nature, actually, he goes into detail of this in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he's reciprocating. There's a way that Krishna reciprocates with everyone. He says, first of all, to lay the foundation in the ninth chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dveshosti napriya, hi bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. First half of that verse, Samoham sarvabhuteshu, says, I'm equal towards everyone. And he's Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dvesho. He doesn't have aversion towards anyone either. And meanwhile, Ye yata amam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. He says, whatever way in which the living entity, who's not a dead stone, but actually has his own volition to desire and create, approaches me, I respond accordingly, equally. Of course, in the second half of the verse I quoted from the ninth chapter, Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. He says, if somebody decides to turn his attention towards me, perfect timing, Hare Krishna. Then that person lives in me. And I live in him. And therefore, as is pointed out at the beginning of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever existential situation any living being is in is a result of that person's appreciating capacity. This is a term Prabhupada mentions in the Adi Lila, fourth chapter, 34th verse, the second to the last paragraph, in which he talks about how every living being, in fact, he says at first, every species has its own ability to appreciate the Lord. These levels of appreciation are mentioned elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, for instance, in the 10th canto, with the prayers personified Vedas, when they talk about even the most primal species of life. What?
Just enjoying.
Oh, okay. Even the most primal species of life have a relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. It's a nitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. Sri Brahma Samhita says every living entity has an eternal kinship with the Lord. So even in the most primal species, the living entity has annamoy, or is appreciating, eating. It's not nothing. In fact, to some people like me, it's practically everything. That's their relationship. And as one gets a field that is capable of more appreciation, in fact, one could say that the human experience is that field by which one can develop full appreciation for the Lord. The human beings are actually exalted. Krishna says in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Sri Uddhava that of all the species, I like the humans the best. So if you're human, be happy. Krishna likes you. Because the humans have this capacity to appreciate fully. One in the human form of life could fully develop full appreciation for Krishna, or rather, better put, an ever-expanding appreciation for Krishna, because that's what the human life is meant for. Starting off with inquiring, like, how did I get here? Tato brahma jignasa. And then guided by the shastra, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, kama sanendriya pritir labo jivita yavata jivasya tattva jignasa narto yashche cheha karma vihi. Bhagavatam saying, don't waste your time right now. You've got an opportunity to really find out about your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just keep all the maintenance part on a minimal scale so that you can be fully available to inquire on the highest level about your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is what is called your appreciating capacity. To the degree in which you you develop this a capacity to appreciate Krishna. It's okay? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Continue? Okay. So, in the most refined states of consciousness, one can appreciate the Lord in everything. And Krishna gives suggestions of this in the Bhagavad Gita. He just says, Punyo ganda prativyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavaso jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapas chasmi tapasvishu. He gives suggestions of ways in which you can feel this appreciation for him anywhere. Punyo ganda, from the fragrance of the earth. Punyo ganda prativyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavaso. Just in all manifestations within this world, whatever is beautiful, whatever has some extraordinary feature, you can see that he says, appreciate, this is coming from me. So from this we also hear about Krishna's unlimited capacity to take from any living entity the smallest spark of appreciation for him. And of course he says in the Gita, Neha bikramanashvasti pratyavayona vidyate swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat, that even if there's the tiniest of intentions, how would you measure an intention anyway? It's amazing because it makes such a difference, doesn't it? What is intention? You can't get a little meter. Of course, we have a built-in meter where we can sense people's intentions. Yeah, I know you didn't mean it. It's okay. You meant to do that. And then it makes a bigger difference. In fact, even in built into the law, they try to analyze people. Why did you kill that person? It was an accident. You know, I was cleaning my bow and arrow and it went off through the window and it killed the guy next door. I didn't mean to do it. It's like, no big deal, you know, probation, don't do it again. Just don't keep a bow and arrow around. But, you know, if it was in the heat of, somebody got angry, he started screaming at his neighbor, he threw up the window, he actually shot him. He meant to do it, but he was angry. It's okay, it was clouded by your anger. So it's serious, but not, you know, it's not the worst thing. But if they notice your Google records that you went out and bought the bow and arrow and you got duct tape and everything else and you followed the guy home, then it's the most serious. I mean, intention is something we try to measure in everything and why people did something. So Krishna has an unlimited capacity to measure our intention. This is one of the things being mentioned here at the last part of the purport. Because a Krishna notices these things, as Bhavagrahi, Janardana, what was the actual intention? Several examples are given in the Bhagavatam. For instance, the notorious Putana, who had come to kill Krishna, and certainly this was a dastardly desire and intention. She was working for the worst kind of person, and she came to kill him, disguised as his mother, but in the end, she attained a benediction. And Uddhava marvels at this. Ahobakiyam stanakalakutam jighamsaya payad apyasadvi. Even though she was asadvi, she was not a saintly person. He says, Ahobakiyam stanaka. How wonderful this is that Krishna gave her a benediction. He accepted something from her. There was some spark of appreciation for Krishna when she came to kill him. Or at least, anyway, Krishna appreciated that she dressed as my mother. At least she played this part for some time. I mean, Uddhava's amazed. He's saying, like, who would take shelter of anybody else than Krishna, who looks, he finds intention that may not even be there, practically. I mean, like, you came close enough. I'll take it. And then he brings the devotee in. In fact, Brahma, when he's praying, he's noticing this pastime of Putana, and he says to Krishna, you gave so much to Putana for so little. Do you have anything left for the residents of Raja? Do you have any more benedictions to offer? It seems like you gave everything to Putana, but no. Actually, Krishna is unlimitedly aware and able to pour out his benediction to everyone. And that's what the second half of the verse, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. In the first half, talking about tit for tat. In the material world, whatever the living entity desires, the Lord fulfills his desire. But if somebody expresses an intention in bhakti, that means I want to serve Krishna. Some selfless feeling that Krishna is beautiful, I'd like to do something for him. Patram pushpam palo, I'll bring him a flower. So that's what I can find. The flower's beautiful, I'll give a beautiful flower to Krishna. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maite. Then the reciprocation from Krishna is inordinate. It's no longer tit for tat. It now becomes, when one approaches Krishna in that mood, then Krishna is called vanchatita, which means he rewards the desire of the devotee more than one himself could desire, or more than one could imagine. This happened with Bali Maharaj. That's where you find this statement, Bhavagrahi Janardana, in the first place. It's because Bali Maharaj was engaged with his demon friends and rejoicing over their conquering the heavenly kingdoms. And they were performing a big sacrifice to exploit more the material nature. And that's when Bhamanadev, one of the three most opulent forms of the Lord, is Bhagavan Krishna, and there's Nrsingadev, and there's Bhamanadev, who's irresistibly beautiful. I mean, when a little Brahmin comes in, Brahmin's thread and a deer skin on. Anyway, Bali Maharaj was sitting there in all his opulence and victoriousness, having conquered Indra and the heavenly kingdom. And there a little Vamana came in. And in his heart, immediately his heart went to surrender to him. It's like, let me surrender. But he couldn't do anything about it. You know, sometimes circumstantially we can't do anything about our feeling. It's kind of strange. You know, we want to surrender, or there's a service that we want to do. We want to do more possible. Thinking, I wish I could do more, but I'm encumbered by my circumstances. Do you think that's possible?
Yes.
In what way? Could somebody give an instance? Yes, Prabhu.
Family responsibility.
Like what? Be more specific. The more specific, the more interesting it is. Especially if you're vulnerable and tell about your own. But you don't have to. Go ahead. Yeah, family circumstances, we see it all the time. Like, you know, there's husband-wife combination, and sometimes the wife is into it, but the husband isn't, or vice versa. And it becomes difficult because there's a lot at stake. It's not so easy just to say, well, I'll do it anyway. Right? This is a good example. Thank you. Is there another one?
Last year I had quite a high-flying
high flying career in IT.
And had to kind of wrap that up.
He had to wrap it up. And wrapping up sometimes takes a little while, right? Even Rupa and Sanatan Goswami took a little while to wrap it up. The Tekvaturna Mashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sada Tuchavat, yeah, but it took a little while to wrap it up. In fact, Sanatan Goswami started off by calling in sick. Anybody do that? I know in America, all the time I'm with devotees, they're driving around with a laptop open. They're like, what are you doing? I'm working. They called in sick until the Nawab sent the doctor down there and said, hey, he's not sick. He's reading the Bhagavatam. Finally, the Nawab showed up and said, what's going on? He said, I'm not coming to work anymore. So he had to go to jail for a while and, you know, get out of jail, go across the mountains. It was an onerous situation for a long time till he was actually able to break through it. You know, in that story, it's really, I always get this pang when I hear this section. When he finally gets free from, he's in that hilly region, and that scam artist, you know, wanted his gold coins, and had an astrologer there to discern that he actually had 8 gold coins, and his servant had handed over 7. He said, you have one more, take it, go. And he left, he had nothing. And he went off into on the path in the wilderness that he had been shown towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and suddenly he felt, this is now I'm getting somewhere. It's astounding, isn't it? Because oftentimes people think when they're well established and they have things around them that will protect them, that now I've got somewhere. But actually, Sanatan Goswami, he left it all behind, and he's on a flight of freedom, and now he feels actually happy. That's amazing. Yeah, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead's fully aware of what our intention is. Bali Maharaj had that feeling in his heart that I actually want to surrender here, but he couldn't in the circumstances. And so later, after the Lord made him capitulate through his own means, he has means of offering the the kind of forced capitulation that he's expert at it. The Shastra says, all the acharyas say, Krishna's really good at that. If you show your intention that I'd like to surrender, then hold on for the ride, because Krishna even, he comes out and says, yes, yahamana grinnami harishe tadaram shanai. I can take away all your burdens for you. And so Bali Maharaj, you know, was divested of everything that he had. It's hard to do it by yourself, but at least if you tell Krishna, I'd like this, which is really seems like a dangerous thing to do. And then you try to prepare yourself for how Krishna reciprocates in that way. That could be an interesting life, actually. An interesting lifestyle, to actually offer yourself to Krishna and say, you know, I'd actually like to completely surrender and give everything. At least you can think about it. And if you think about it while you're chanting and sort of put a little intention into it, just as taking a risk, then that could be interesting. Krishna could move heaven and earth and to make such arrangements. So Bali Maharaj received such reciprocation from the Lord that the demigods were amazed. And the acharyas answer that because Krishna understood his heart, that even in the circumstance when he couldn't surrender, Krishna made an arrangement, and then he reciprocated in ways that seemed inordinate. But that's what he does. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. Therefore, one can notice one's intentions. One can very deliberately offer oneself to the Lord, even if one may be in a situation right now where he or she can't do everything or anything about it. And from that, intention will grow a sequence, circumstances in which Krishna offers one more and more opportunity to give him or herself to Krishna in his service. So now we'll take a few reflections or questions. Reflections means anything that you heard that seemed useful that you could use yourself, perhaps, and or that you just heard in the purport or in the monologue. And a question is a little more challenging. It means that I'll have to think about it and try to answer precisely. Yes, Tanishna. Hare Krishna.
In a similar way that you can build the road for Krishna in your mind mentally and do your service in your mind, should we be afraid of offenses in our mind as well?
Yeah, well, a couple of things about that. First of all, about doing service in your mind. If I do it, according to the teachings of the Pancharatra, when we're doing worship of the Lord, there is actually a physical form, the things that we use to worship the Lord. And we should actually collect those things. We should go to the trouble, for instance, to grow tulsi and flowers and collect them and offer them and so forth. Because if you don't have the facility, you can offer them within your mind. I was once walking with a dear godbrother of mine, Madhava Maharaj. We were circumambulating Vrindavan every morning together, and he likes to go off on tangents and walk here and there and go other places as we're going, and I was kind of in a hurry to get back to do other things, and he said, let's go see that tree, it's a sacred tree, it's desire tree, and I said, I'll just do it in my mind, and he said, that's okay, just as long as when we get back you take prasadam in your mind too. Anyway, that was his point. He didn't want me to be lazy. But we should be careful about offenses in our mind, because there's thinking, feeling, and willing. And if you take the trouble to expunge kind of offensive feelings within the mind, through one way is through gaining a higher perspective. Evam buddhi param buddhva samstabhyatmanamatmana jahi shatram mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, to overcome the inordinate desires within the heart through your intelligence. Develop your intelligence, and the best way to do that is by Shastra. And if you study Bhagavad Gita every day, at least by reading a chapter every day, and read Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, then your intelligence becomes fortified. And you also get something else. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. Krishna throws in for free, extra, knowledge and detachment. You can't buy that stuff anywhere, except by hearing and chanting and doing the direct processes of devotional service. Then you get a little perspective, which gives you some space to work out the offensive ideas in your mind ahead of time. For instance, one might have an offensive idea or intention, and then you might rectify it by just letting it go. For instance, you might have develop a grudge against somebody. And then through superior intelligence, you might decide, well, I'll just let that little grudge go in the forest somewhere, let him run off, and be free of it. If you deal with things on that level, then they don't go to feeling and willing and become manifest. Besides, living a life free of an offensive mentality is a much better lifestyle. So it's a good idea to deal with it at that level. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Just a general question, please, if possible. I've got quite a busy schedule, you know, trying to coordinate different activities. Do you have any tips to, you know, for example, fit in more reading, or, you know, to
tip for a busy schedule, how to fit in more
of the day?
Yeah, definitely. I have some tips. One thing is always work from a list. Because if you try to get everything done just by the way that things orbit in your mind, ideas, then they don't always show up at the right time, and you might forget. So make a list of things. I have my list right here. It's in my pocket. And whenever I think of it, I write it down, and I try to prioritize it, because then you can get it done. And the other is to have goals for your practice. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kalava Sani Krito. The Goswami set the example by setting very specific numeric goals for how many times they chanted, how many times they read, how many times they bowed down, and so forth. And if you do these, if you do that, you'll find that your mind is intrigued by the goals, and you'll start working towards those kinds of things. And the other thing we talked about yesterday is use all the gaps. For instance, in my pocket right here, I have a gap filler. This is a verse. And if I find myself, for instance, you know, someone says, jump in the car, we got to go right now. So you jump in the car, and then they go, oh, I forgot my fill in the blank, and they go running back. When are they coming back? I don't know. It could be 30 seconds. It could be 30 minutes. You know, anything could happen. But I don't care, because I have my shloka in my pocket. So use the gaps, because there's a lot of them in the day. So those are three things that you can try. Hare Krishna. What else? Reflections means anything that you heard that you can reflect back. It just means I heard this and I reflect it back. Yes, please. Oh, I thought you were heading.
No, I was thinking about...
See, we could even tell what she was thinking.
Journey.
Yeah.
About intention.
Intention, yeah. Yeah.
And I find that very relishing and very, the Lord is very kind, understanding.
Yes, what one's intention is. For instance, if somebody's speaking the Bhagavatam and their intention is that they want to make money from speaking the Bhagavatam because they would like to have ample access to smoking cigarettes or freewheeling lifestyle, and they're good at Bhagavatam, they know all the verses of the Bhagavatam, but that's their intention, then Sanatana goes, Avaishnavam Mukunginam Putam Harikatam Ritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpochista Yatapaya. Sanatana Goswami says, be careful, because if someone, for instance, is speaking the Bhagavatam, but has an intention to enjoy the material world from the fruits of whatever he or she gets from speaking Bhagavatam, then the vibration's tinged. He gives this extreme example. It's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It gets touched because the intention is so powerful. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that point up again about intention. Intention really is a subtle thing. Prabhupada's pointing out how subtleties matter. And if your intention is right, even if you get the other things wrong, for instance, there are various qualities listed of a pure devotee. And of all the qualities, which includes things like, there's one that expert, poetical, knowledgeable, balanced. If you're missing all of those, but your intention is right, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, api chet sudracharo bhajate mamananya bhag sadareva samantavyas nyam samyag vyavasito hisaha. He says that if your intention is correct, then even if you mess everything else up because you're just a mess, if the intention is right, it'll burn through. And he says, Shri Pram Bhavati Dharma Ma Shashvas Shantim Nagachati Kontiya Pratijani Hinami Bhakti Pranat. This person will be successful. Similarly, in the list of 20 in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna lists all the elements by which, the attitudes by which one can gain real knowledge in life. Amanidvam, Adambitvam, Acharyopas, Ahimsa. This list, if you're missing all of them, but you have the one thing, which is you intend to surrender to Krishna, then you're still in the game. That's the main thing, if the intention is correct. And therefore, one should try to fuel that intention, especially by association with those Vaishnavas who are well-intended. If you hear from devotees whose intention is to completely surrender to Krishna, the vibration is so powerful, Says Kapila Dev, Satam prasangamam avirya sambhito bhavanti hrit karna rasayanakata taj joshanat ashwa pavarga vartmani shradaratir bhaktiranukramishrati. By that sangha, hearing in the association of satam, which means they have their intention right, then you will step by step make advancement in devotional service. Prabhu, sorry, go ahead.
Intention is deed half done. Performance half done.
It means?
The very intention,
yes,
results in the performance half performed. The remaining thing is we have to do it.
Yeah.
Intention and deed, actual deed is one thing, performance is one thing, and the intention is one thing. We intend the thing.
Good point.
We think only one thing.
Yes.
But the performance is the remaining part.
Yeah. So scenario, say husband and wife. Wife comes home. Husband says, "You know, I really meant to clean the house before you got here. You know, I meant to, friend to a friend, I meant to get you a gift. I intended on it. I thought about it. Then, well, I just didn't do it." So there is a way in which there is a presupposition that a person's doing, the intention implies you're doing everything that you can in circumstances where there's no dravya, means there's no material facility to do it. So the intention is a thing also. It is a thing. But if you can extend yourself further and you don't do it, you don't use it. In fact, this is the principle of renunciation. You should extend yourself into every corner of your life and use everything. Anasaktasya vishayam yataraham upayunjita nirbanda krishna sanbande yuktam vairagyam uchite. If you have dravya, if you have things you can use, but you don't use them, then one might, you know, backtrack and question your intention. Just like that Maharaj did when I said, you know, I'll do it in my mind. He said, you can eat in your mind later too. A few more things. What time do we end? Quarter to or nine? Okay, Prabhu.
We were just reflecting that we were talking about the heavenly planets, the earth being better than the heavenly planets for spiritual advancement. And it's kind of surprising that even in Kali Yuga, it could be better because, you know, it's really horrible here at the moment. But still, it's more favorable than being in the heavenly planets.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's certain stories in the Bhagavatam, like Maharaj Katvanga, when he found out he was going to die, he left the heavenly planets and came to Earth.
Yeah.
To go back. Could it be better for him to go back to Godhead?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
So, is that surprising that even in Kali Yuga, it can be this planet?
Yeah, this is the place to be. First of all, Krishna helps adjust our expectations. Not like you land on earth and you think everything's going to be great. He gave fair warning, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravichinojuna. He says it's all bad from top to the bottom. Even the heavenly planets could be worse, actually, because people there expect everything to be really nice. And then there's an upsurge of rajas or tamas, like with Hiranyakashipu. I mean, nobody expected the heavenly planets. Everyone expects everything's going to be fine. And then Hiranyakashipu, they get word, you know, there's this guy down there. He's standing on his tiptoes with his hands, and there's fire coming from his head. And he's developing some powers, and he's got an intention to take over the whole universe and take over Brahma's job and so forth. At first, the demigods saying no big deal, but then they find out, you know, he actually did it. So it can be just everywhere is disturbing in the material world because it's not stable. But the material world, the earthly planets are right in the middle. It's like the ground floor. This is the place where you can actually exit the building. Heavenly planets, you still have to come back down here. Shinye punya martya lokam vishante evam traidharma anu prapana. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you burn up your frequent flyer miles up there and you end up back in coach. There's a way in which the earthly planet, especially from the Dham of Vrindavan, that's the doorway through which one enters back into Goloka Vrindavan, as evidenced by Gopakumar in the Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. After all his meanderings, following his worshipful Lord, Manan Gopal, through chanting his mantra, he ended up getting the final instruction, come back to Bhoma Vrindavan, earthly Vrindavan, and from there, perform Sankirtan. So you're already there on the earthly planet. We're already here in this situation. And so, yes, this is the best situation. Plus, the human condition really resembles what we have, the kind of emotions we're able to express and feel, and the way we're able to enact various relationships in this world most resembles Goloka Vrindavan, human beings. You know, we feel separation, we can identify the various relationships that we're in as Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, etc. And all it requires from there is refinement of those sentiments and transferring them to worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata mano biramate tadvan mano me ramatan tvayi. Rupa Goswami says that just as young boys are attracted to young girls and young girls are attracted to young boys, let my attitude be the same thing towards you, Krishna, be spontaneously attracted. Possible to understand for human beings. Prabhu.
Intention is there, and Krishna wants to reciprocate manyfold more than the intention. Why does it seem that the path of sadhana bhakti is so lengthy and difficult sometimes?
So the question was, if I understood correctly, that Krishna's there, he reciprocates even sometimes seemingly inordinately with the person who's engaged in bhakti. Why does it sometimes seem that the process is lengthy? Why does it take so long? Well, first of all, from geological time perspective, the time's not so lengthy. Considering the fact that within possibly one lifetime, or in one lifetime, we can actually go back to Godhead. The distance we've come is much longer than the distance we have to go. So time is really relative. I remember in school, if there was a subject I hated, I'd look at the clock. I still remember this. I'd look at the clock and I'd think, when's this going to be over? And then I'd try to concentrate and I'd look back up and say, only 1 minute went by. Whereas if you really like something, then you know, you look and you go, how did it get over so fast? Have you ever noticed when you're chanting? If you're chanting good japa, I would say the sign is, at least for me, the sign that I'm chanting a good japa is that someone taps me on the shoulder and says, it's time to go. And I'm thinking, like, how'd that happen so fast? So if we're absorbed, then we really don't notice the time going by so much. So one of the tricks is to be absorbed in the process itself and not thinking about, exactly when does it come to fruition. However, it's a legitimate question, and there are legitimate answers. One of the answers is that everyone has their own situation in this life. You'll find in the purport to Tate Anukampam Sisimikshamano Bunjana Imatma Kirtam Vipakam Ridvagvapurvir Vidadam Namaste Jiveta Yomukti Padesadaya Bhakta, the famous 10:14:8 verse of Brahma's prayers, where he's saying that let me wait patiently for your mercy and let me tolerate any kind of adversity that comes to me meanwhile. And he says that anyone who maintains this attitude throughout his or her life is eligible to inherit the kingdom of God. Then the question comes up in the purport, and this is a discussion brought forth by our acharyas, in which one may say that for Regular people, it's known, everyone has karma. Yes, Twindra Gopa Matavendra Mahosa Karma Bandana Rupa Palabhajana Matanoti. That from Indra down to the Indra Gopa germ, everyone's getting their karma. Said, but devotees, when they surrender to Krishna, are supposed to be immune from karma. So what is it when we're having to be tossed in the currents of the waves, tossed in the waves of the material existence? And what's actually happening? Is it karma or something else? And our acharyas, headed by Vishwanath, give this answer that actually, this is not karma. This is Krishna's mercy. And how it's Krishna's mercy, he says that when one stays in the material world for some time and then changes one's mind and decides I want to go back to Godhead and then surrenders, legitimate surrender, intention is fully there, and nonetheless, there may be a residual effect of one's involvement in the material world in the form of a subtle desire to enjoy certain things in the material world. Possible?
Yes.
Please say yes.
Yes.
Okay, makes me feel better. So then Krishna knows what that is. And he custom designs certain kinds of sufferings and frustrations to help burn out those last vestiges. I mean, not to get too esoteric here, but even in the rasa dance, there were various kinds of living entities who had come to join Krishna for the rasa dance. The various categories of gopis are all cataloged by our acharyas. And some of them were joining for the first time, coming from other situations. They're not parshadas, they're not eternal associates of the Lord, but they're actually coming out of the material world. They've been promoted to that position. They've taken birth in a situation where they can actually be with Krishna on the same planet, in the same town, in the same lila. But they have something left. So some of them, when Krishna played his flute and it was everyone, all the gopis ran to meet Krishna in the forest. They didn't even know the other ones were going. They just all heard it and went. And some were held back by their family members. And the intensity became so great for them that they burned off any last vestige of desire to enjoy the material world or any last connection that may have been there, burned off in the heat of that intense separation of being held back to go join Krishna. So, I mean, what's better? You live in the ashram, in the temple, and you wish you were in, you know, Monte Carlo. Or you're in Monte Carlo, you know, sweeping the floors, and you're thinking, when can I go live in the temple? Which is better? So, you know, internally, it's really important. And Krishna is expert in knowing exactly how to rectify the last vestiges of desire to enjoy the material world. There are other reasons, too. I mean, Krishna has his reasons. You find out that, you know, fifth canto, what's his name? You know, his guru is Narada Muni. His chariot wheels made the division.
Priyavrata.
Huh? Priyavrata, thank you very much. Yeah, Priyavrata. It's mentioned that, you know, he was ready to go with Narada Muni, completely renounced life, fully focused on his sadhana. And then, you know, the temple president showed up and said, you know, we need a, or the GBC showed up and said, we need a temple president. Said, you know, we need you to get married, manage, populate, and everything like that. And there it's astoundingly mentioned that sometimes Krishna intervenes and actually, for his own purposes, he waylays one's direction in devotional service for a certain reason. Also, I'll tell you another astounding thing I heard about why people get apparently varied, well, they do get varied. There's varied sequences of when they get the full fruition of their chanting of Hare Krishna. This is in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Ajamil. And he says that Krishna, that when you chant Hare Krishna, the fruit is going to come. There's no doubt. the fewer offenses you have, the faster it will come. Nonetheless, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, one of the reasons some devotees don't get the immediate result is because Krishna holds it back from them. Why? Because there are other people in the world who don't believe in bhakti. They believe in karma and jnana and other paths. Krishna has to be equal to everyone, and he wants them to not lose their faith in their own path, because otherwise how is it free will for them to follow it? If everyone had immediate success in bhakti, then that would discourage the others. Therefore, he holds back the full result from some of the bhaktas who are practicing until later. Like when they leave their body, they get the full result. So there are different reasons. Nonetheless, if one has cultivated at least full knowledge about the efficacy of the process, trusts the doctor and the medicine, even if the full result isn't there, the optimism and the exhilaration of taking it is there, because one knows that the result will come one day or another. That was a really long-winded answer, and I apologize. Last thing, because I have 30 seconds. Yes? Are we the ones that are stopping our progress? It's best to assume that, as the fact is that there are various ways in which I can sabotage my own progress. One of the ways is to claim that I'm permanently unqualified. This is something, a philosophy that some people propound, but that's something that's refuted by Vyasadeva in the Vedanta Sutra, where he says that actually, if you notice that the Shastra is speaking to you, and the Shastra says, become a pure devotee, then you've got no excuse, because if the Shastra wasn't speaking to you and it wasn't possible for you to become a pure devotee, then the Shastra would have no meaning. Therefore, you should assume that it's altogether possible because Shastra says it, and therefore Vyasadeva concludes that we are agents and we're responsible. So it's helpful to take full responsibility, to say it's up to me, and whatever shortcomings are there are due to my own inabilities. And please, through association and through mercy, let me develop the ability to surrender more and more. I thank you very much for your kind attention. Prabhu?
To make an announcement.
Yes. Oh, and I forgot to say some things I was supposed to say. Please invest 4 hours in this upcoming marathon. I'm going to do it because I'm here for the first 3 days, and one way or another, Nirkula will verify, I'm carrying books around with me now, because I would like to see every one of those books and more be distributed for the summer marathon. But please invest at least 4 hours for the upcoming summer marathon, and invoke special mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhu.
Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, hey! Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman.